I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
No, well said, bro. Obviously, let's keep it 100. Mm. You sound that first pro. What do you do to enjoy life? Let's keep it real. What's the first thing you did?
I can't lie. If we're ever going to be honest, when I got my first payment,
Selfridges.
I went to Selfridges. But no, it wasn't just me though. I went to Selfridges, took my sister. I said, what do you want? But then there was a I used to rock an Armani pouch, you know, like Armani pouch. I used to rock that and I was like, I need to upgrade.
Armani, it's 2021, you know.
It's starting to riff and up. I like Armani.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. I'm with Dej. What are you saying to me, brother?
I'm good, my bro. You know, another podcast, another youngster. Our episode with Kayon got a lot of good traffic, good feedback. So we've got another Arsenal youngster underway. So I'm looking forward to chopping it up and for him to tell his story.
It's mad because we've had quite a few Arsenal players onto the platform. Seems like we got the magic touch.
Yeah, man. Got that Guna touch, innit?
Before we introduce our guests, I just want to quickly plug the socials. @podcast_TBG on Twitter. @pod_TBG on Instagram. And @TBGpod on TikTok. Please follow the TikTok. It's blowing up. We're getting millions of views. And obviously, we would like to continue growing. Dej, as we've said previously, we're trying to build a community. So we want to hear feedback from you guys in the comment in regards to what we can do better, what you want to see, what we can improve on. And obviously, as we said previously, we read every single comment and obviously we try to get back to as many as possible.
Yeah, that's the key thing. As I was saying to you when we were coming here, that we're going to be getting back to every comment. So when we respond, that's either me or Dot. And that's where we want to keep going because we want to build something here. We've got a lot of great content planned. So, like, stay with us and we appreciate your support.
No, definitely. It's actually mad because I always say Dej, but we've got another Dej in the house. We're delighted to announce that we are joined in the studio with Nathan Butler. Oh, yeah, Deji.
Welcome, bro. Two Dejis in the house. Welcome, my bro. You
pronounce my name right.
Come on, so. Man. Yeah, I'm Nigel. Come on. I'm the first job, bro. I can't disgrace myself. I've got bare Nigerians watching, bro. Yeah. What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm blessed to be here.
No worries, man. We've been speaking for a bit.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you like coming down and showing your support, man. Because I know it's a long travel, especially at this rush hour time.
Yeah. Traffic's mad in London, so... But I made time to come speak to you guys. I like what you're doing.
No, love. And we love what you're doing as well, bro. So to kick things off, who is Nathan Butler or your Deji?
In terms of what? In terms of football?
Just life. Being? Where did you grow up? Let's start from there. I'll make it easy for you.
I grew up in East London, Walthamstow. That's where I was born and bred. That's where I learned life lessons. where I learned how to play football. Like, that's where I call home.
So how was your upbringing? Because like when we speak to a lot of ballers, they say it was the cage culture, it was out there on the streets.
There's not really a lot of, like the South London ballers, they have the concrete cages. We don't really have a lot of concrete cages. But I was just really like, at school we had a concrete cage. That's where I done my thing. But I used to just go to the park and like when I'm from young, just joining with like random people in the park when I was mad young, where you had to put like two shopping bags as the goal.
Yeah, two jackets. And stuff. Yeah. School bags. And when like, someone shoots high, you'd be saying, that's over, that's over. You're like trying to measure it. Yeah.
So that's where I really had fun. And like, I learned some of my skills that I even use today. So yeah.
No, that's dope. So obviously you're kicking ball on the ends. Mm. When do you realize or when does your family realize that you've actually got something?
My dad always thought I had something. And to be honest, like even from when I was young, I knew that I was quite good at football. But I'll say maybe I was like 6 or 7. My dad didn't let me play for any Sunday league team.
Church?
No, he just didn't. Oh. He just didn't let me play for any Sunday league. So I, what happened was I used to go to Goals, you know, Goals Centre. Yeah. So I used to just do some training there. And then from there, I got scouted to Leighton Orient from there. And that's where it all kind of started to me, about age 6 or 7.
Okay, so what did you actually sign?
I didn't sign formally for Leighton Orient. I was just training with them. Then in a matter of a few sessions, I was scouted from Leighton Orient to Arsenal. So, yeah.
Gee, so what? So a scout from Arsenal picked you up from Leighton Orient?
Yeah, I didn't play a game for Leighton Orient, but I was just training with them for like maybe, I can't even remember, but I just remember training with Leighton Orient, yeah.
That's interesting, because normally you have to get signed and maybe Leighton Orient.
Nah, it was just like, I think there was someone, you know, but I think someone was working, I don't know.
No, it's actually mad, because I want to go back to your dad in terms of, not allowing you to like join a Sunday league team. Was there a particular reason?
He just wouldn't let me. Like, I really wanted to play. I used to get really angry seeing, like, when you're in school, primary school, the board, like, your friends saying, oh yeah, we're gonna play football, playing this team, and dad just wouldn't let me. He'd say like I would get injured and stuff like that, like that,
you know, half parents
with the superstitions and
superstitions,
that
so I just had to respect. Obviously he's my father, so I had to at the time I was underage, so I had to respect his wishes. So yeah.
So you said you joined Arsenal, which is obviously like a big club, so like, how did you approach that, like, psychologically? Because no disrespect to Leighton Orient and Arsenal, it's two different sort of conversations.
Where I live, I used to drive past Hayland all the time because I live 2 minutes away from Hayland. And one time my dad, I was driving with him and he said, you're going to be there one day. And that resonated me for a while. So when I actually got there, I was starstruck. Like, I walked in the dome and, you know, when you're like 6 or 7, like, you see all these other kids and then you look inside yourself and ask yourself if you're good enough. But like, through when I started training more, I thought like, yeah, I think I belong here.
So obviously you're driving past Hayland consistently, and obviously you're getting starstruck thinking, listen, I want to be there one day. So what age was this?
This was like 6 to 8, between them ages. Yeah. I see passing by. I used to be like, what's that, dad? He'll be telling me like, what it is. And obviously Hayland was very different to what it is now. Mm. But yeah, I was starstruck. Yeah.
So you get into Arsenal, like, what's the period of you like training with them and before they say, you know what, we want to sign you, Nathan?
It was a weird because obviously back then when you're like 6 to 8, you don't have to sign for a club straight away. So I was at Arsenal, but then I got invited to go train with Chelsea for a bit, and then but it was in Cobham training ground, that's where it is, and it's kind of far from where my mum lives at the time, Walthamstow. So we came to a decision where we had to choose between Cobham and with Chelsea and Arsenal. And obviously, because I'm an Arsenal supporter as well, I chose Arsenal. So, yeah.
That's actually mad, because I think Keon, if I'm not mistaken, he was okay.
Even
so did
Eddie,
you,
even Eddie.
Eddie as well. So did you know Keon at that time as well?
No, Keon's like a family friend of mine. So I've been knowing Keon my whole life. But yeah, I remember the Chelsea, I used to have the primary school, finished primary school straight away, and then I'll take my mum will drop me to the station, but I'll still be in my school clothes. And I go into McDonald's, I have to change in the toilet of McDonald's and get on the train, and it was just crazy.
So, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. People don't see this grind from day dot to make it as a professional footballer.
So from then, I had to make a choice, and I chose Arsenal. I think it was the right decision for me.
Yeah, definitely, because you're doing your thing now.
Yeah.
So like, talk to us about your progression through the ranks. So you're under 7, under 8. Are you dominating it, or was there a year where it was a bit tricky, where you could have got relieved? Like, talk to us about that journey from under 8s to, let's say, under 16s.
I'd say like the under 9s to about under 11s, I was doing really well. I was started off as a striker, so I was playing well. I was having fun. I think the year that I maybe struggled was with was under 12s, because I don't know. Like, obviously, you're growing, your body's starting to develop, other boys are developing faster, and at that age it's really like some boys are about this small, some big, you know what I mean? So it can make them look better than what they are. So under 12 I think I struggled. I wouldn't say I'd get released, but I wasn't starting a lot. I was having a bit of, not self-doubt, because I'm always confident, but I started, you know, your mind subconsciously start thinking, am I good enough? Like, why does this coach doesn't rate me? But just the under 12 season was really a hard season for me. But then all the other seasons were good, to be honest.
Because I asked that, because as I said, a lot of academy boys watch this and they're going through their own journey where they might not be starting or things not be going their way. So like, what would your advice be to people that are going through that rough patch where they're like questioning themselves and like, have I got it? The gaffer don't like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially with me, because over my time in Hayland, I had a lot of injuries. I broke my leg. I broke my leg in Malaysia on tour. I broke one of my toes. So, and it was, you know, the crunch time when you're going to get a scholar or not. So I'll get back, I'll do my thing, then get injured again. So my advice to for young people like that, like, obviously I'm faithful, I believe in God. But even if you don't, I think you should just always have self-confidence and talk to people. I know even when I was young, I was quite shy. But like, it's not good to hold all your emotions within. Like, it's not beneficial. You have to talk, if that's your parent, even a coach, someone that you can confide into.
So who's your like safe haven? Like, who would you confide in if like something's happening?
Like,
or?
If something's, like, if I don't, I won't tell my mom, because she'll just worry. So, she'll go. So probably my sister, she's very helpful in my life, and I'm faithful for her.
No, big up. So obviously you overcome that adversity at 12, 13. So what happens next?
12, 13. So that's when I was questioning myself. I wasn't getting injured them times, 12, 13. So then under 14s, I'm starting to pick up. I'm playing on the wing now. My growing pains, are still going through it, but I'm starting to get through it. I'm playing well under 15s. I was playing up with under 14s, under 15s them times. Then got to the under 16 season, and under 15 season, this is when I broke my leg in Malaysia and had a tour in Malaysia. Really bad tackle from the guy. Broke my leg, had to get thrown back to London. It was just a big, I had to have surgery out there, then come back to London.
So how was that process? Because you say that it's normal, but that's, especially at that young, tender age, you hear about pros getting ACLs and stuff like that, but... Yeah. Like, how were the club with you? Like, what sort of happened?
They were perfect. At the time, we had just... Perd had just came in as the academy manager. Then I was on my hospital bed and I got a message. And I was like, who's texting my phone? And I see the profile picture and it's Perd Mertesacker. And obviously, as a youngster, I don't think he would even know who I am. So that kind of gesture. They flew my dad out straight to Malaysia from London, come and check on me, because I was in a really bad way. So they were very good with me.
Big up Arsenal. Yeah. That's not the first time I've sort of heard about their sort of positive aftercare.
Very, very good aftercare.
And how long did that set you back for?
I was out for 10 months. Wow. Because I was out for 10 months because the when I in Malaysia, I had to go to like the top
surgeon
to it. But luckily he done a very good job. So it took me 10 months and maybe like 2 months to get sharp. So, yeah. about a year, I'd say.
Wow. So like throughout that whole experience, like what's one thing you learned about yourself?
I remember like when it happened, because I remember I was having a good tournament as well. And I was just
banging in the goals.
And like, yeah, exactly. But then like when my mom found out the news and she was really upset, you know how they get a bit emotional, mothers.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't really make me feel good. I felt, I know it wasn't my fault, but I felt like I was letting everyone down. But what I learned about myself is that I'm resilient and that I can really overcome everything or anything that comes to me when I got through it. So anything in the future that had come my way, I would use that to draw back to that and give me strength. So, yeah.
So obviously you make a full recovery. Yeah. What happens after that?
So like, yeah.
Regurgitating the same question.
So after that, so under 15 season, that was under 15 season, come back under 16 season. So this is time when you're going to get your scholar or not.
So do you have like a sort of inkling at this time?
This is the start of the season.
Okay.
But I'm like, with through that club, they know that I'm obviously a quality player. From the start of that season, I'm playing well, scoring goals. I remember I scored a hat trick against Tottenham.
Oh, that must have gone down well, man.
Yeah, it really went down well. It went down. That's one of my favorite hat tricks. It was good.
Oh, just the
no, sorry.
I get it. You got hat tricks for fun.
Then I got in training. One of these defenders, he stepped on my foot and I fractured my metatarsal. So I had to have another surgery. I had to have put a pin inside my metatarsal and I was in a boot for 3 months. So then I come back about February this time. I'm thinking, oh, have I done enough to get a scholar? Like people are having their meetings, you know, everyone is getting a bit turbulent. But then we played the Liam Brady Cup. And I played really well in it. And then when it came to decisions, I got my scholar, so I was happy.
So was there that sort of anxious wait that you hear players talk about, this player's been called, and he's got his scholar, they've got their scholar, I've not been called yet, am I getting...
Yeah, it's exactly like that in the change room. Everyone will be like, yeah, have you had your meeting? Have you got a text? All of that kind of stuff. So as if you haven't got that, you'll think, oh, what's going on? Am I... Start questioning yourself. But yeah, luckily for me, I got through.
So, not one.
So, like, in terms of your scholar at that age, is that's when you kind of move into digs?
When did I move into digs? Sorry. When I got my scholar, I had to move into digs. I remember I did not want to move into digs. I wanted to stay with my mom.
Your mummy's fine.
Yeah. I wanted to stay with my mom.
I could tell.
My mom was like, because obviously it's 2 foot, I wasn't driving at the time. Obviously, you don't have a lot of money to go like cab back and forth. So I had to go into digs. So, yeah.
So how is that experience? Because you hear differing sort of opinions, or not opinions, views. Mm. Some people, they get put with families and the club sort of monitor them.
Yeah.
And they sort of say, oh, are you gelling with this family? If they're not, they say, you know, we're going to put you with another family. So how is your situation?
No, my digs was, it was a very elderly couple. They were very lovely. They were retired. But when I first came, I don't really like dogs. But they had a dog. Yeah. But over the time, I learned to like it.
So isn't there like a checklist that's saying, okay, likes pets or likes...
Yeah, but I think when it starts all getting, I think you just have to like the people were, there were, there's not really a checklist. It's more like, I don't know. I think you just see, and if you don't like it, you can go to someone else. So, yeah.
So take us through that process of actually signing that scholar, because it must have been like a proud moment for you and your family.
Yeah, it was a very proud moment. I think my mum got an email saying they have to have a meeting with Per and another staff member and Luke Hobbs to talk about whatever, what's going on in the future. So my dad, my mum came and we had a meeting. And then I didn't know which way it was going to go. But I would say I was like 60-40, you know, 65.
That's close.
Yes, because, but my dad was always confident I was going to get it. But as Per was saying, we've taken this, I'm thinking in my head, or is he gonna say yeah, like then he's, as soon as he said we're gonna not retain, get a scholar for another 2 years, I was delighted over the moon. My mum was smiling. I mean, it was a very good feeling, man. Something I won't forget.
So what role does Per play in the academy? Because Keon came on the pod as well, said when he had his injury, he received a message. It seems like he's that sort of figure that the young players sort of look at in terms of like coaching, guidance, advice.
Obviously, he's played at the top level. He's won the World Cup. He knows what it takes to get it done. So his advice is like gold dust. So, and he sounds a very nice guy. He'll take you under the wing. Even like him as a centre back, he'll tell me stuff that he didn't like as a centre back that other strikers did. So little tips that can give me an advantage. So he's just a very nice guy and someone that I learn off daily and so positive.
And do you mind sharing a bit of insight into what he's told you as a striker, what you need to do?
Per didn't like pace. He was ahead of the game.
Yeah. He didn't need pace.
Yeah, true. He was very intelligent, but he did say he didn't like pace.
Oh, yeah. I knew it.
Yeah. Cool. So, obviously, you signed that scholar. How old are you at the time?
16.
16. So, you signed the scholar. You're at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You're feeling like, I'm doing something, I'm up to something here. What are your friends saying?
Well, like friends back in there.
Yeah, ends.
Yeah, they're like, wow, Nath, like they're bigging me up. Like I was popular in school. Like obviously if you're an academy footballer in school, you get rated. But
especially
I was,
Arsenal as well. Yeah. That badge carries so much like clout.
Yeah. But I was like popular in the school, but when I signed the scholar, like, I think in the area, I became more popular. Like, everyone kind of, not knew about me, but was proud of me.
So how did you, like, sort of manage that situation? Because obviously, you're going back to the ends.
Yeah.
You know how it is when you're 16. Chicken and chips.
Yeah.
All of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's roll hair. Let's go cinema. Let's link these things. You know how it is, isn't it? But obviously, you've got a football career that you're pursuing. Exactly. So how did you manage that dynamic?
Obviously, there was always temptation. I just had to, like, whenever, like, was lingering and stuff, I've got my best friend, CJ Clark. He was big, like, me and him kind of followed each other. So, like, when other people were doing, like, not, like, in trouble, but, like, doing things maybe they shouldn't be doing, we'll just
doing things that kids do.
Kids do, of course, we'll just go train at, like, a Astro and stuff, like, to get better and stuff like that. So it was good. I think that what kept me on the straight and narrow. Obviously, there's so for young people in general, there's so many obstacles and not obstacles, distractions if you want to pursue something. So having someone that you can do that with helps you because it feels like it has camaraderie.
Camaraderie. Yes. Yeah.
So feels like you have to do it by yourself. So,
wow,
yeah.
You're really blowing grammars for us.
Yeah. So like you go past the obstacles, the trials and temptations. So now you're 17, 18. Talk to us. What's your situation? Are you playing up? Have you trained with the first team?
Yeah, I trained. Unai Emery was the manager. I remember I trained with the first team. No, first of all, we don't train with the first team. We done was under 18s versus the first team. That was the first time. Then on another occasion, I went there by myself.
So what happened in that game? Do you remember?
I remember I was like, obviously, as a youngster, I've just used to seeing these guys on TV. So when I see them up close, I think the likes of Aubameyang, Ozil was there at the time, Torreira. I was like, wow, starstruck. But when I got on the pitch, I think I'd done an action against someone and I thought, like, okay, I can hold my own. So then I started playing to the best of my ability. So yeah, it was good.
So obviously you're training with the first team, you're progressing through the ranks. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think 2021, when you're 18, you signed your first pro contract.
Yes.
How, before you go into it, how was that different to the scholar contract in terms of the feeling?
It was something like, I just, like, words can't explain how I felt. It was really big. It was, like, obviously, I could actually say I'm a professional footballer for Arsenal Football Club. Like, just to say that sentence alone was the biggest attraction. I felt like I had accomplished something. Like, I felt like I accomplished something as a scholar. But this, like, put the nail on the head, like, wow, made me actually have a true talent, you know? So, yeah.
So what did Dad say as well? Because you drove past
the
training ground and he said, you're going to be there one day. So, like, how did he react?
Yeah, he was, he's kind of calm. He's a calm guy, you know? He keeps me on the straight and narrow. But he's so proud of me. So that, it really made me feel good. Really felt good about myself.
So when you get that pro contract, what changes? Because you see it in professional football, some people can change for the worse. Maybe, I've got this pro, I can rest on my laurels. But I speak to a lot of young players and they say, signing that pro means the journey starts now.
Exactly. The journey starts now. Obviously, from scholar to pro, you get more money. There's other stuff that comes into play. But obviously, a coach of mine always used to say, like, it's not the first, your first pro contract, it's the easiest one you get. It's if you get on the second, the third, the fourth. So that really stuck in my head, like, because there's been a lot of players with the talent, abundance of talent. And once they sign their, like, a big contract or even their first pro, like, they let it get to their head and stop doing the stuff that I was doing that got them in that situation in the first place and they need to fade out. So that really deterred me because I've seen a lot of players like that. I know a lot of players like that, so I didn't really want to be like that. And I don't want to be like that.
No, well said, bro. Obviously, let's keep it 100. You signed that first pro. What do you do to enjoy life? Let's keep it. What's the first thing you did?
I can't lie. If we're ever going to be honest, when I got my first payment, I went to Selfridges, but no, it wasn't just me though. I went to Selfridges, took my sister, said, what do you want? But then there was I used to rock an Armani pouch, you know, like Armani pouch. I used to rock that and I was like, I need to
upgrade.
Armani is 2021, you know.
It's starting to rip and up. I like Armani. So I went to, that's when Goyard was starting to get in fashion.
Yeah.
So I went over there and I got one a bag. So yeah, that's what I spent my first.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's sick, man. I love to hear those stories. Yeah. So like, in terms of signing that pro, so are you training with the first team? What's the plan? Because normally you hear a lot of players say, okay, I signed my pro, the club approached me and said, you know what, we're going to put you for a year or two in under 23s.
Yeah.
Then we're going to maybe loan you out or we're going to see how you're progressing. Then maybe chuck you into the first team. Was there any sort of that kind of plan?
So from the under 18 season, so I was a first year scholar. I was doing really well. Then I got injured again. For like 9 months, I done cartilage in my knee, but then I come back as a second year scholar now, so that's why I received my pro kind of late. So I received as I turned 18. So you can receive your pro, earliest you can receive your pro is 17. I got it, like, at the back end of my second year scholar, so I received it quite late. So I was playing under 18s sometimes with the 21s, but 21s were quite strong at the time, and I was just coming back from injury. So yeah.
Okay, so he was in the 21s at that time in the forward positions.
Kido was doing really well. He was my age, but he was doing really well. He's a good friend of mine. He was top. He's a top guy. Flo Balogun, he's just top. Then he had like Saliba coming. He just came, I think. He was playing a little bit. Like Jordan McNeff. Who else is that? Miguel Aziz was playing. Trey Coyle, likes of that, top player.
So Saliba was there at the time?
He was, when he came, he had to play with 21s for a little bit, but obviously his quality is too much for
21s. So at that stage, like, what was he doing that made you say, like, this guy, he's going to be...
Just so calm on the ball, and he's just a unit. He's a unit.
Just to call it bluntly, yeah.
He's a unit, but he's quality on the ball as well, so, yeah.
Nah, he's one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League now, man. He's a top player. So, talk to us about the season that's just went.
Okay, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, I didn't enjoy it two seasons ago as much. I wasn't really playing in the 21s. The manager, not favoured, was playing other people ahead of me. So I had a really tough year two seasons ago. Wasn't really doing much. I think last season when I burst onto the scene, really, and not burst onto the scene, but got more traction, you know.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. Yeah,
because I know you went to Accrington.
Yeah,
Stanley on loan. Yeah. And obviously, there's a famous manager there, John Coleman.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like one of the legends of the lower leagues and stuff like that. So, how was that transition from, like, you know, the smooth pitches on Coney, you know, the comfortable settings, the training kit in the changing room, to like going up north? Because you're moving away from ends totally now. So, how was that transition?
It's like going from a boy to a man, really. Like, nothing's done for you. You've got to. Whatever you need to do, you have to do it yourself. But it's good. I'm really glad that I went there. I enjoyed my time, even though things didn't really go as well as for the team, even and for me as I wanted to. But like, it's a great club there, and it's really family fan club, so it was good.
Yeah. So like, delve into your time. I know you said it didn't really go too well, and at Arsenal, we know from top to bottom, there's a certain brand of football that needs to be played.
Yeah,
quick touches, passing. Whereas when you go to like a team like Accrington, Stanley, I know you were playing as like one of the three behind the striker.
Yeah, yeah.
So winning the flick on, so it's long ball, it's hoofy. And Nathan Chase, channels. So how is that whole philosophy changed for you?
Obviously, I signed on deadline day because I had a lot, it was a lot of clubs after me.
Which clubs were interested?
A lot of League One clubs, League Two clubs.
Okay.
A lot of them. But on deadline day, I decided to sign with Accrington. So I've gone there, and I think I've trained on Thursday, and I've thrown straight in on Saturday against Lincoln. And I was playing up front in a two. And I remember like 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh my days. I'm like, oh my days. It's very different. Obviously, it's very different. But it's like, if you don't experience it, because there's so many different styles of playing, of winning a football match. There's so many different, as long as you win the football match, who really matters how you play. It was a good experience. I enjoyed it thoroughly, yeah.
So in terms of, you know, living out in that, were you living in Manchester or?
What happened was I was in a hotel for quite a while, for like maybe 1 month in Blackburn. I was in Blackburn for 1 month. But then they sorted me out a place in Manchester, which was fine,
Okay, because Manchester's like the new London. It's it's great. Obviously, me and Dot have enjoyed.
We enjoy Manchester. So what made you come to the decision to actually go to Accrington? Because you said obviously you were being chased by several clubs.
I was thinking, I just like, obviously with Arsenal 21s, be playing the Papa John's. I done really well in that, and I had a good, I played really well. I was starting to train with the first team a lot. Went to Dubai with them on the winter break, which was good. And like, the manager was starting to talk to me, give me tips. I felt like I was growing as a player. So I thought, like, maybe I need to test myself in the men's game, you know. So I had different clubs after me. Some deals I was supposed to have go, but it broke down the last minute. So then Accrington came in, and I thought, what would I do? Just keep playing 21s or try and challenge myself in League One? So that's what I did.
So how is that sort of first visit into the changing room at Accrington where your boy?
Yeah.
And there's men, you know, 35 years of age. If we don't stay up, I can't pay my mortgage.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Like, so, like, how is that dynamic for you? Like,
it's like eye opener. It's like, I remember coach always used to say that we're in a bubble in us, but when you're young, you just thought like, you actually are in a bubble. People like clubs like Accrington, like, you have to fight. 3 points are so valuable. Mm-hmm. Even though we play for 3 points in 21s, but people's livelihoods are at stake. So it was very different. But as soon as I walked in the dressing room, I shook everyone's hand, and then just go on with it, innit?
What, so is there banter, like something like, this ain't Arsenal, lad?
I think as soon as I come in, I think someone said in a Scouse accent, he was like, so why, why are you here then? He said, did your agent tell you about Accrington? That's what he said. But I was like, I just had to say, I just laughed it off. Because they talk very fast up there as well. I had to get used to the accent. Because Accrington is a lot of Scouse accents. Some people from Manchester. So, yeah.
So, obviously, your loan comes to an end. Mm-hmm. What's the conversation with Arsenal?
We just reviewed the loan, how it went. Obviously, talk about plans moving forward to this season. So, just talking about what I did good, what I could do, improve on, like showing me videos and stuff like that. How did I find it? What would I do better? How could they help me more? You know what I mean? So, yeah, like a evaluation.
We're going to come back to what's going to happen in the future, but I want to circle back to Dubai.
Oh, you know, Dubai, yeah.
Yeah, the first team. Like,
yeah.
Because I saw there was a game where you came on where there was like maybe 10 youngsters
that got
substituted and you were one of them.
Yeah.
So how was that experience with the bonding trip?
Yeah, it was good. It was when the World Cup was going on. So there was still some first team players still there. It was good. I had fun. Training was intense. Like when you train with the first team, you feel like your level goes up because you don't have, maybe in 21s you have time to like try to twist up a man, like but here you have to do your action fast and make sure everything's precise. And yeah, it was good. I played against AC Milan and Lyon.
Yeah, I remember. I saw
AC Milan and Lyon. It was good. Yeah, it was very good.
So which like first team players took you under their wing and like was sort of like a mentor on that trip?
What, in Dubai?
Yeah.
Eddie and Reese, they took me under. Yeah, Eddie and Reese, they're good. Yeah, they were good with me.
Big up Reese as well, just signed his new contract today as well. So
big up Reese.
Yeah.
So what sort of information did they give you? Is it more so just like following their lead, or they're like, oh, you know what, when you're in this position, do this?
Yeah, obviously, because Eddie, like, sometimes I play nine as well. He tells me, like, he's so sharp in the box, like, so I just try and pick up little tips here and there, and he tells me, like, he can see what I'm good at as well. So when I do something good, he's like, yeah, well done, like, continue doing this. And with Reese, the same, I can play wide as well. So they're both top players, and they come from the youth. So they clearly have the quality and the mentality to get to where I'm going. So just trying to draw the information like a sponge.
It's actually mad, because obviously when we had Kayon on, I was asking him about using those kind of guys as inspiration, because obviously they're from ends, they're Mandem. You get what I mean? They've gone through the grind and now they're bona fide Premier League and international footballers kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like, when you see players like that, so the Eddies, the Bukayo Sakas, who I think is one of the best players in the Premier League, the Reece Nelsons, the Emils, what does that do for you internally?
Shows me, like, even like if you're not, things are not going your way, obviously there is a pathway at the club. That's what shows me. If you're good enough, you will get opportunities, which is showing, because I was I got an opportunity to be on the bench a couple times with the first team, which was very good for me. So it just makes me go harder, you know. Nothing's impossible. So yeah.
So we spoke about the youngsters that have made it into the first team. I want to talk about the youngsters just beneath, because there's two names when I speak to all my contacts that keep popping up. And that's Miles Lewis-Kelly and Ethan, who just signed a new contract as well. So talk to me about them, because they're people that, obviously, they're just getting into that sort of mainstream spotlight now.
Yeah.
What's their abilities like, and do you see them cutting at the top?
Yeah, they're really top players for like, they're like 15, 16, if I'm not mistaken, 17, I think. They came on the Dubai trip with the first team when I came there, and like I was talking to them, and they're top quality for their age. They're not even punching, like they're swimming with the big sharks. They're very good. Obviously they still have things to learn, like us all. But they've got Ethan, Miles, top players.
No, definitely. When we speak to our contacts, that's all we hear in the Arsenal Academy. Yeah. Those two, they're going to go far. Mm. So obviously, fast forwarding back to where we got to in regards to the upcoming season. Yeah. What's the plan?
I've been going to sit down, maybe possibly a season-long loan to really establish, getting first team football, prove myself in there and go from there, really.
So, in terms of standard, are you talking League One? Are you talking League Two, or even abroad? Because you see a lot of youngsters go abroad. What's
I don't really mind League One, League Two. I'm open to abroad as well. Well, not too far, obviously. But in all seriousness, I'll be open to abroad as well. Yeah.
So you said there was like not a risk analysis, but there was like a strength, weaknesses. Yeah. What could we do better?
Mm.
So from your time at Accrington, what's something where you thought, you know what, I can improve on that? Next low move, that's going to get ironed out.
If I ever went back to a club that played the style at Accrington, when I was playing like as a 10 at Accrington. So they'll play up to the front man and they'll flick on. So I'll just be running and running. And then the one time I don't run, that's where he flicks it on to me. So I just thought, in the future, if I ever or a team plays like that in a game or something, I have to go for every one. Mm. What else would I learn? Got to be ruthless. Chances are limited. I think those two.
So in terms of the loan, because you said sort of like the style of play was a bit of a culture shock. Mm. But before that move sort of decided, with the list of clubs that were interested, don't you sort of say, or doesn't your agent, should I say, you know what, this plays this style of brand of football, this club plays similar to Arsenal, let's try that. Was there that sort of...
Yeah, there was that conversation. And as I mentioned before, I had a loan move with another club, but that broke down. Mm. And then I came to a choice that was on the deadline. There was like two or three clubs. But at the time, Accrington came in. And I thought, should I stay and play 21s or go to Accrington, Stanley? So I thought, let me go play Accrington. Then as I've signed the loan agreement, then one of the other clubs have come back saying, why did you sign? We really want you. So I've called the person in that works at Arsenal saying, what should I do? This thing. But I already had given my word to Accrington. So
Your word. No, that's words, classy. Exactly. That's classy.
Yeah.
No, definitely. So... in regards to obviously potentially going out on loan this season, have you spoken to the club about that yet?
We've spoken to the club, but I still need to speak to them to have a few things out. So
So in terms of like pre-season now, obviously when you're walking in, you're walking a bit gingerly, isn't it?
Yeah.
That yo-yo test, isn't it?
No, it's not even a yo-yo anymore. It's the 1K. That's the new killer.
Okay.
The new killer. Yeah. Killing me.
Everyone just on the floor.
Literally everyone on the floor. It's just so hard. But
it's worth it.
When people say being a footballer is easy, that's what you can use to counter that.
good one. And in terms of physically, obviously you've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, bro, man?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're a warrior, bro.
Yeah, I'm good. I've put my injury history behind me. I haven't been injured in 2-3 years. I feel like in good condition. Obviously, I'm a very fast player, one of the fastest at the club. So, I think I'm very good condition.
So in terms of Arteta, I know you said you've had some dialogue with him. So what's he sort of said to you recently or on the trip to Dubai?
In Dubai, he was I was playing striker in Dubai. He was just giving me tips of it's the way we play is very complicated. So many maneuvers, but they come off. So he was telling me it's all about timing, when to show for the balls and then, honestly, because I've got a lot of speed. Doing double movements, so say I'm with a defender, bringing him in, then spinning. Yeah. No one's gonna really live with me when I do that. So he was giving me tips like that, and he's a genius.
So in terms of current Arsenal, obviously they've been making headlines, splashing money.
Yeah,
Declan Rice, Havertz, Timber, talk about Lavia.
Yeah,
loads of new signings, trying to push for that league. As a fan, what do you make of all the activity?
As a fan, it's good. It's great. I want to see the club do as well as it can. Obviously, when I left on loan, we was at the top of the league, and I was watching when I was at Accrington, and I thought we was gonna do it, but I see it just proved to be a bit more, just a bit more in the day.
Kept their composure. Yeah, obviously, I know you can't say, but obviously that experience kind of. told during the home stretch.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously, as Dez said, Arsenal have been splashing the cash. In terms of Declan Rice, for me, I'd say probably the best defensive midfielder in the Premier League with Rodri. In my opinion, it's not a fact, it's my opinion.
Yeah.
How do you feel about him?
I think he's a top player for West Ham. And obviously now he's coming to Arsenal. I think he has a lot of quality and I think he'll add to the team. I think he's a top young player and he'll grow into something even greater at Arsenal. So, yeah.
Because I think I've seen it to another young player that when your team's doing well, obviously you're a fan, you want them to do well, but that means the barrier to entry for a younger player gets higher and higher because they're spending cash on the best in class.
Yeah.
So, like, what's your mindset towards that?
It just, when stuff like that happens, you got to push yourself to be even better. Like, you know, you got to strive to, you know, break them barriers that you're talking about. It's all about competition every day. It's a dog eat dog world. So you got to, you know, fight for your place. You know, nothing's going to be given to you. That's exactly what I learned on loan. Nothing's going to be given to you. Yeah.
So we're going to move into life outside of football, my bro.
Okay.
What do you get up to?
I really just be, I play FIFA a lot. I'm really the best at FIFA.
You're the best. Yeah. This is what everyone says on the camera. Then when you start playing,
FIFA, like to relax, I go out with my friends, maybe go out to a restaurant or something. That's about it.
Well, really. Like Mayfair and that Bagatelle.
I haven't even been Bagatelle. I like if I want to go out to like one of those restaurants, I like Novikov.
Slaps, it slaps.
Yeah, slaps though.
Okay, and in terms of like music, what are you rocking with?
I like Amapiano now.
Serious? Yeah. What, can you go to one of those?
No, I can't go to them functions.
Have you heard of Danky Sounds?
Yeah, I've heard of that. No, I can't go to that, but I like the music. UK, I like Central C.
Yeah, he's doing his thing right now with Dave, yeah.
Yeah, Dave. American music, I like Lil Baby.
Yeah, with K-On, I guess that one. I knew that was coming.
I like Youngboy. I listen to Youngboy a lot.
Okay, how about the UK? I know you mentioned Central. Yeah. Any other?
Fredo.
Yeah.
Listen to a bit of Clavish sometimes.
Yeah,
it's UK. I like Potter Paper.
He's coming that real street rap,
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And in terms of like, obviously going back to Novikov, it's date night. Date night. You're on date night with the missus, let me say. What's the outfit of choice?
What, I'm going with the missus?
Okay, no, let's say for example, let's put a spin on this. Right. First date, you're dressing to impress.
To impress.
What are you rocking?
Probably wear some like my Chanel trainers. Jeez. Or my Dior trainers. Like, I don't really wear designer jeans, so maybe normal jeans.
Because Zara thing, exactly.
that'll do, man. For real, Zara thing. And if I want to show out, I wear a designer t-shirt. But I like usually like plain stuff like from recent stuff. Like, if I want to show out, I'll go wear like Saint Laurent t-shirt or something like that.
Man, big.
And then wear my Goyard bag. And if I really want to show out, I have to wear my watch. But
got the watch on.
What? So what about the jeans? Is it flares or is it skinny
I'm not
fit?
With the flares. I'm not with the flares. I might go with the flares.
I've jumped on it. You
jumped on it. Yeah, it's my proper. My friend's always telling me he has a brand. This is his brand.
Solid brand.
He's always telling me to get on this flare jeans. Even some of my other friends. So I might give it a try. You know.
But why haven't you jumped in it? Is it just difficult to get your head round?
No, it's just not my. I just didn't think of my style. Like, you know, everyone's style is different.
See, you know.
I might try some flares and you know, post a few pics on the ground.
That's the new flat. Yeah. That's the new drip. J4s and the flares.
Flares.
That's the swan over
the ducks.
Yeah. Nah, that makes sense. Now, as we said, bro, like, love for popping down today, man.
That's cool, man.
Like, obviously, it was good to hear about your journey. Yeah. And I think, like, youngsters listening in, even parents and stuff, will learn a lot because you're still on your journey and we're going to be tracking it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got 10, 15 years ahead of you. And obviously, there's going to be
ups and downs.
That's it. But it's about, as you said, getting back from it, as you've done with the injuries and stuff. So, from us, love, bro.
Well, thanks for having me, guys, man.
No, definitely, man. It's been an absolute pleasure, bro. And I'm not going to lie, we've interviewed so many footballers, bro. And I have to say, bro, you're one of the most humble people that we've met on this platform, bro. So, big up to you. That's big up to your family. Yeah. Big up to your sister. And we're going to be following your journey, bro.
Thank you, bro. I'll be following you, too.
No, I love. No. So, we've got a closing tradition on this podcast where we ask the guests that's received TBG treatment. And obviously that's why I was giving you the nice words, because obviously I want you to recommend the guest for us and we're going to put pressure on you.
Yeah.
So if you had to recommend a guest in football to come onto this platform, who would it be?
Academy.
Anyone
He hasn't been on.
They're just like, this is the trick. Like, silence. I don't know.
I'll give you an answer. I think you should interview Miguel Aziz.
Okay.
I have an interesting story to tell you guys.
And you're going to help with that one, yeah?
Yeah. I'll try my best.
No, love. Dej, any final thoughts?
Bro, nah, I appreciate that. Obviously, Miguel Aziz, I was laughing because that's one. Uncle Femi, big up Uncle
Yeah, so then we're going to leave it there. As I said earlier, Nathan, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. Over and out. Until next time, peace.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.